Bonsoir, alors Sonia malheureusement elle ne parle pas français, mais moi il n'y a pas trop de problèmes. Alors après peut-être si vous avez envie de dialoguer un petit peu, si vous voulez intervenir en français, ben, je pourrais faire la traduction pour Sonia et vice versa. Alors, I'm very happy to be doing this conversation tonight with you, Sonia. When I met you a few years ago, I was immediately very interested in your work and your personality, which is very much part of your work. And I'm especially interested in the fact that even though you work a lot in video, the work is very performative, it's very much based on the body, and I think that as I often say with artists doing performance, you are a kind of thermometer of what is happening on the earth, on this earth, and especially coming from New Delhi. I think this evening will enable us to discover some particular perspectives. Yes, the temperature of the planet is seen through the eyes of someone coming from New Delhi. I thought we would start off by looking at a very emblematic video that you did in 1999. Already, it is a video that is presently included in the exhibition L at the Centre Pompidou. It is Bird, and I feel that Bird sets very much the different problematics that are included in your work.
Many of my works, yeah.
This is the earliest work that we'll see this evening. 99, you had almost just come out of art school.
Yes, that's true.
At that time. Do you consider that this is like the work of your departure as a professional artist, or would you give it that importance?
Well, it is a very important work for sure. In fact, it was one of the works I made towards the end of my, you know, college. I made it at college, at RCA in London. Mm-hmm. But I didn't show it there. I showed it a bit later because I was in London then, and already this seemed to evoke a lot of response, and it seemed like the response invariably was brave work from Indian women, and I did not want it to be stereotyped in that manner, whereas I wanted it to first be seen. Therefore, I wanted to see it being seen first in India, where it really would have provoked things, and then for me it would have been more interesting. So I held it back for a few months till I went back, mm-hmm. and that's when I showed it. Mm-hmm. In college, I showed it in college, not outside.
And what was the response?
Oh, the responses haven't stopped actually. Uh-huh. So for me, it is a very important work, uh-huh. and we can spend a whole evening just being entertained by the kind of responses that come for this work. Uh-huh. But just to tell you a few, in Delhi, when I went back in the end of 99, and the only way I could not go into depression was to have a big show. And that was closed all the doors in my face, because I had gone, when I left Delhi, I was a painter, and I came back doing these strange things, and so the agenda was mixed. People were not, I'm talking about galleries and scene in that sense, they just did not accept video for one thing, and then performance was a very, very far away idea, as there was no discourse, except performance was only understood in the world of theatre. And then to have a naked body in this manner, in a situation where the moral codes are quite observed much more strictly than many other places, it seems to be to have provoked a lot of sentiment. At the same time, in the art world, some part of the art world, I found extreme support, and a lot of people were protective of something like this and wanted to nurture it, which was very nice for me. Going back to another set of reactions, my mother, who is completely not an art person,
mm-hmm.
she lives in a small town. Our worlds, sadly, are totally different, and in that has also brought about a lot of alienation in recent years, because she doesn't know, you know, I think it happened with many of us,
mm-hmm.
and then we still struggle to find a way to communicate. When she saw Bert, she cried immediately, and normally she doesn't see my work. If she does, I know, and she knows that the responses are very dutiful in a way.
Why do you think
she cried? Because she completely understood where it comes from. And after that,
which is
a lot of concern with one's body, but also the need to flee one's condition and to transcend it, and various
mm-hmm.
things which she articulated in her own way. And of
mm-hmm.
course, immediately then she remembered that she was mother and she was in a certain situation. So the next question was, would you not feel shy to show it to public? And you know, those kind of concerns came in the second moment. But the first moment, her response was very, for me, I mean, very gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go to another set of reaction, it was also seen as pornography, but you know, that's so such a stupid reaction that I rather not dwell on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the work, but also the context, the fact that it was this large exhibition of video in a place where prior to this, video was seen in India very furtively by a very few people who were primarily painters but were doing a little bit video on the side, and this was a full-on exhibition of where the materiality was being considered in two venues at the same time. So very large show,
mm-hmm.
called Lone Women Don't Lie. So within this situation, the galleries who were very admiring of me in the past were, there was a lot of silence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, criticism doesn't come back easily.
Mm-hmm.
You really, if you're lucky, it comes back eventually, but or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but slowly I got to know that it was difficult. But then, as I said, there were also some people who were looking after work. And luckily for me, I started to do museum shows, etc.
Mm-hmm.
soon after. And then I started to also realize that when it's shown in another context, in other countries, very often the problem was not that it was a naked body, but this whole thing about how dare you show a fat body in
mm-hmm.
such a, you know, full-on way.
Yeah, it's obvious
yes.
that it addresses questions of
also,
canonic beauty.
Yes, well also,
mm-hmm.
because I also don't like to sit in one place but keep flitting and provoking maybe... questioning of many kinds. I think that's my strategy also, to keep it away from the work becoming didactic.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like to think that I do prefer the circle as a form much more than a line. So when I say circle, I mean to have multiple positions at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So even in head hand, the propositions are many and it keeps splitting from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So same with bird. It is about a certain kind of body, it is about corporeality, it is about phenomenology, spirituality, to me, all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only articulate that in retrospect. Maybe when I was making it wasn't so, but one thing which I can say when I was making it, and I've realized hence, and I was speaking about this with Alexandra yesterday, I think for me, experience is central to my work,
mm-hmm.
As against representation. The need for representation is not the core of my work. Experience is the
mm-hmm.
need to speak of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I've digressed very much from your
question.
No,
that's fine.
this
the idea is to make you digress. So do it
yeah.
as,
so yeah,
as much as you feel.
It was, yeah, lots of reaction to
yes.
Bird.
I have the feeling that the Bird set out an agenda very much for the meanderings of your imagination that would follow. And I think, it addresses the question of flight and wanting to be free and in a way escaping, but maybe escaping the condition of one's body and escaping the conditions of one's environment, but also it It's a performative action that is carried out in the video that enables you to map out or mark your territory. And this is an idea that I feel was very much pursued with a very important project you did called Logic of Birds, which actually happened...
It began in 2006.
2006?
I can say I haven't put it to a close completely.
No. It's still but in on. Madrid you did a very important collective performance.
Yes, which came out of Logic of Birds.
Yes.
By then I called it Lying Down on the Ground.
Okay.
Because I felt I had distilled what I was processing through Logic of Birds into this, you know, very elementary and essential gesture of lying down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Because you had first started by yourself lying down in the streets.
Actually, if you really have to go back, I would say it started in 1996.
Okay.
With a postcard, with a drawing and a piece of writing from Kundera, which really touched me and I needed to do something. So I immediately made some drawings and that was not enough. So I made a postcard with the writing and mm-hmm. so I could distribute it to a lot of people, 1,000 mm-hmm. postcards. And so a very simple gesture, very immediately done, and you know, the need was consummated. Actually, first I did the project for several years where I was walking with a flower.
Uh-huh.
And at a certain moment, after about 8 years, it almost became a self-prescribed ritual or a pilgrimage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And once that came to an end, the need to be in the public space to interrogate or understand certain things remained.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to Logic of Birds.
Mm-hmm.
So then there was this... it was at a moment where I was thinking much more about corporeality in its very... thinking more about vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
dereliction, certain concepts and how they get played out, especially being a certain kind of person, being a woman, that mm-hmm. was also important. And then being out there and with all these considerations of interiority, but putting yourself out
mm-hmm.
In the rawest way in the public.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I was lying down first, and often with pigeons, I suppose, I need some annotation. I don't know what I needed. Mm-hmm. It has been described or understood by a writer friend who follows my work a bit
mm-hmm.
as, you know, maybe some sort of mother's feed or
mm-hmm.
some kind of sucker. Sucker as in refuge, mm-hmm. shelter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt actually somehow later on reflection, I felt perhaps what the pigeons were doing and the reason it was important
mm-hmm.
Was because somehow it materialized this sense of touch in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was being in that place but also being touched.
That's what you feel mm-hmm. with Logic of Birds. You came out of that confinement, mm-hmm. which was in the video Bird, and it's obvious that there must be circles of people from time to time that assemble around this body that is lying mm-hmm. in the street. For sure there's circles of pigeons, as mm-hmm. we can see.
So the pigeons were a protection from the people also.
Ah, I see. Uh-huh.
But also I have to say, people have often asked, so you know, what was people's reactions? And to be honest, it would be more true to say that wasn't so central to mm-hmm. the work, because it was quite obvious there was a camera and
mm-hmm.
there was very much the fact of a performance happening, being recorded, and people know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that happens very often everywhere. So people don't really, so people often, friends who mm-hmm. look at the work, one of the questions is whether this lying down body provoked the right kind of moral reaction from people, which was about the ethics of when the body is lying down, do people come out with concern? But I don't think it was within that domain.
Mm-hmm.
The work was not set out to either think about surveillance
mm-hmm.
in mm-hmm. obvious ways,
mm-hmm.
Nor about, I don't think it was so much about pointing a finger to say, oh, people don't care. It wasn't really that.
No.
So people were there, and it was a very touristy area, so obviously there were many people with cameras. But the interesting thing is, despite the fact that everybody knows there's a camera and there's shooting going on, eventually they would get concerned about the body lying down.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Not as the first response.
So what is it about lying down that is so interesting?
What do you think?
You're...
I've been talking. Okay. I think coming from me in this situation that you asked me and I tell you, it sounds a little bit like... it sounds like truisms, to use big words. But in fact, if one thinks of the whole trajectory, I think a lot of the work is about offering acts of resistance. And as I said a few minutes ago, I was in that moment where I was thinking about dereliction and abandonment and dissidence and vulnerability. And at the same time, I think a lot of my work is very engaged with the polemics of being in the world and how does one be in the world. And for me, always a question attached to this is that of singularity, but also this notion of a self, a very small I, and mm-hmm. not this very large statement, like something heroic or something addressing world events. I think all of that is very much contained within the smallest of things which happen around us too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt like I have to defend the need to speak of the I, self, but as a self through which many other selves cut across.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't just me if I say self. So it is not a narcissistic exercise for me to
mm-hmm.
be there. In fact, if anything, it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a sense of actually obliteration.
Mm-hmm.
You can only be there and deal with that gaze and all of the violence of it because you are actually not considering yourself as the one who's... You know, maybe one gets into a certain mode of being to be able to do that. So, I mean, I couldn't always go and lie down. It has to be a special moment.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a moment of trauma. But that would be another kind of psychoanalytical track, which maybe we can miss for the moment.
Yes, it must take a certain disposition to condition oneself to do this for hours, I suppose, no?
Mm. And many times.
Many times.
In many times, in Delhi, in
mm-hmm.
Norway, in
mm-hmm.
different cities, sometimes filmed, sometimes photographed, sometimes not. Of late, I find it very difficult to do it. Parallelly, I had also started to write about this, which evolved as I call it a poem loosely, but
mm-hmm.
it's a bit like a proposal, which in the art world is also known as a manifesto, but I don't like the word manifesto,
mm-hmm.
so I would say proposal. It's gentler.
Mm-hmm.
So when the poem started to emerge, I was also sort of putting down the ideas in words and trying to understand the meaning for myself. And then I came up with the idea of the notion of the surrogate self.
Mm-hmm.
So also, and then I tried to play it out almost in a literal way.
Yes.
So I actually would make, I know it sounds very illustrative as I speak about it, but it happened over a period of time where I would make cutouts and I thought something transparent like plexiglass or was a very good material because it was also a little, there was some humor there because
mm-hmm.
it also sort of reflected some part of the world which the camera hadn't caught, like the sky maybe or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I would walk around with this and I would place it in places where I, at a certain moment where my body was totally resisting lying down, I would place my surrogate self and then photograph it. And that was a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even the birds reacted differently to that than to me.
But this is different from the chalk outlines that you did in another work called... Which was...
Well, the chalk outlines only happen in the performance. Lying down on the ground, additional notes.
So, tell us about this big event in Madrid.
So, in Madrid, I was invited to do a performance. It could have been any. And I had sent them an image from Logic of Birds with me with the birds. And in any case, in my head, I was busy with thinking about the work had already gone to different places. The work had become more essential. I no longer was using birds but had distilled the action to simply lying down. And I was thinking of different proposals that could emerge out of this. Now, at this moment, I got a very frantic email from Madrid saying no bio, because it was a closed place and they were very afraid that I might bring like thousands of pigeons inside. So I found that quite funny, and then I thought, okay, why don't I use the ultimate bio? So I will use people. So from that the idea came that actually the proposal could be to invite others to lie down with me too.
Mm-hmm.
And this also very much fitted my always defending this idea of the self and the singular act, but then trying to not to dissolve the singularity of the act, but giving it a larger resonance so it becomes a communicative gesture too, while still remaining singular in a way. So what I did at Arco, it was a very long performance where I worked with a few actors. I briefed them before it began, and this recreated this idea of the surrogate cell by all the time having a projection of me lying in the center of this 200 square meter space. I had gone and lain there a few days ago, videoed myself, and exactly the same size registration from top. So this was, there was a form to this event. It was a show type event. It had to have a end time and a beginning time. So I scripted it a little bit like that. Since then, this work is now being considered for other venues, and then it's a completely different...
It was a huge success from the video.
From everywhere.
I saw people were really interested in lying down, and even there's one very touching image of a child doing the outline of his father. And when you think that this dispositif of the outline is something that is used usually in crime and by detectives, by police detectives, etc., and it's related to death very much and to the disappearance of the
body.
You must have thought about these questions.
We were talking about this yesterday. That's always that's always in the subconscious anyway. And certain things are... So just to go back to the... Okay.
Nothing is burning, don't worry.
So,
this is a diversion from speaking about death, no?
Okay.
But we'll come back.
No, I go back to my... You asked me to describe what happened. So I briefed these actors, and we were lying down in different in this area, which was supposed to be cordoned off. They had curtains around which I removed, because I wanted it to have some sense of more like a public thoroughfare. It was a very large art fair situation, and normally I wanted to do it really out, but that was not allowed. So anyway, it was a show type event with a beginning and an end. So in the beginning, people would see me lying down exactly on the registration of the video, and at a certain moment I get up, and then the actors enter the space, and then we draw each other. And we had disseminated enough information either through some pamphlet or a video screen in the entrance or one way or another, that people could immediately intuit that they were invited to do the same. So then people started to come and join us, and then we were drawing outlines. And this went on for 4 hours.
Yes, and what's fascinating at the end is that the outlines are overlapped one over the other, so it creates like an incredible network of, of outlines and of bodies, body imprints.
It was quite beautiful. And because it was a show type event and it had to be summed up, so I read the poem in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I exited the place, and I'll tell you something anecdotal, which is interesting here, that then at 4 o'clock I left the space and I was very, very tired. And the art fair ends at 7. So the organizers came running after and they said, listen, this is very, very successful. Can you come back and at least read the poem in the end and once more?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, that's possible. So at 6:45 or 6:30, we go back and to the site, which was, everything was over at 4 and people clapped and it was finished. We go back and people hadn't left. Everybody was there. There were more people and people just continued. So it was for me a very thrilling moment to see. Already I could feel it in my body that this is really working.
You were saying that your work for yourself is about the experience, but it becomes about the experience also for those people that
in
are
this instance,
normally considered viewers or spectators.
See, in this instance it became like that. I can't really say that I planned it like that. Definitely, this time the proposal was to very actively invite people and have
them
there.
But it happens in other works that we might talk about later, like Don't Touch Me When I Start Feeling Safe.
There also.
You have that interaction, and even in Zootrope, which is an early work, which we might talk about later also.
Well, it's very interesting that you speak of the Zootrope, because I didn't think about Zootrope in this respect, which makes me think that perhaps there is a desire to put forward this proposal from a long time, which I hadn't recognized.
Because Zootrope was a work from 99, and it's a cylinder that is set in the middle of a gallery, and which people are called upon to interact with.
Moving.
Because it moves around. The viewers move the cylinder, in fact. They're the ones that action the...
Activated.
That activate the object. And inside there are images of you.
Which then becomes like a cinematic sequence. Because of... And the reason for
they actually choreograph your movement in a certain way by activating the device. So there's more of a direct relationship than what maybe you tried to do in Bird, where you activate yourself.
But that's a different one, because I set forth the proposal by calculating things such as the Zootrope is 5.5 feet tall, calculating a usual person's height, so it has the possibility. It's like a very large carousel,
carousel
in which there are still images inside, and it employs the theory of the persistence of vision.
Yes.
So when you're looking through the slit, when you look inside, you see these still images. But when you move, they become animated. And normally the zootropes are very tiny.
Yes.
But by making it that scale, sorry? Yeah, yeah. Better to show it as I speak too. It's 2.5 minutes.
You can go on speaking.
I can also keep speaking over it. By having it on that height, it allows two possibilities, either to see it as a still, or you can move it at the pace that you want.
So you call it a pre-cinematic object, simulated performance.
Well, my only addition to this thing is a simulated performance. The rest of it is what a zootrope is called anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a pre-cinematic object.
Mm-hmm.
From what you said earlier, I wanted to say, when you said that you see this interaction with people also in Don't Touch Me, I wanted to say that actually the only times I've, apart from the zootrope, which is something you have pointed out now, I didn't really relate that so many years ago I had done this too, mm-hmm. which was in the same set of whatever, you know. The only time I've felt the need to perform in public is precisely when I'm thinking about the divide between private and public,
mm-hmm.
and trying to somehow either negotiate it or you know, set forward some proposal into that.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, you know, people call me a performance artist. I shy from that
mm-hmm.
term. I'm quite happy to do very few performances. I don't get a lot of ideas to do at openings, but
mm-hmm.
I like to, every time I've done something in real, it has been really, the need to be there is precisely to understand how either one can play out notions of interiority
mm-hmm.
in a public space or the divide between or the dynamic between public and private.
Mm-hmm. I wanted you to talk about the world, which is a very beautiful word.
Thank you.
Which is very personal for you, I think.
It's my grandmother.
Upon your family history.
Mm. I have to explain, what you will see will be the film, but very often the work is shown in a film installation condition.
Mm-hmm.
So at Global Feminism, it was shown in a very dark space, and once the film ended, it set off a trigger signal, and there were light boxes, very small, about this size, portraits of my grandmother, which came alive one by one
mm-hmm.
in that space. So for a long moment, it
mm-hmm.
was just her portraits, and then it went back to the film. And
mm-hmm.
I did not want to inject these portraits within the film. The film is very frugal with imagery. There are very
yes.
few image,
mm-hmm.
and that is why, of course, choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I needed her presence more in the room, so
mm-hmm.
it was devised like this.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, I had set up a proposal, a solo show in Delhi, which was very much again to do with this idea of living between places. And there's a film, Five Visits, as an installation in an inner space. In outside the building, I had a shipping container in which I showed the world. So
okay.
it also, you know,
we're seeing it
yeah.
right now on the screen.
Mm.
So what happened is that your grandmother had to leave her house,
yeah.
which
but
was.
But maybe we let this because it has sound.
Yes.
So we.
Okay.
Volume maybe. I think it can go a little more up.
So this is you walking.
House that breathes, that encloses, as well as it opens wide into the world. The world is round, around the round being. The world is round. Her house is situated in such a way that wherever she wanders, she owns the entire landscape. Watching her through the lens, I look at her becoming me, becoming mine.
बचपन में लाहौर में अनारकली बाजार में मेरे पिताजी हाईकोर्ट के एडवोकेट थे तो वहाँ पर हम रहते थे अनारकली बाजार में घर था घर के उसके दो स्टोरीज थी नीचे वाले में तीन कमरे थे और फिर ऊपर जाके ऊपर भी दो कमरे और आंगन था किचन था बाथरूम था स्टोर रूम था उस समय हम ऑल्टन में रहते थे वहाँ एक बड़ी कोठी थी अच्छी ए ब्लॉक में और उसमें चार पांच कमरे थे बाहर लॉन था बड़ा खुला सा और बरामदा था बहुत अच्छा घर था ऊपर छत थी बहुत बड़ी जब हम रावलपिंडी से लाहौर गए तो उस घर के बाहर दो स्टोरीज का था नीचे तीन कमरे थे ऊपर भी दो उसके बाद फिर हम वो घर बदला कुछ सालों बाद और फिर एम्बुलेंस रोड पर आ गए। खुला धूप हवा खिड़कियाँ थी। घर में पिताजी को शौक था मैं गाय का दूध बच्चे पिए तो उन्होंने गाय रखी थी तो उस गाय की सेवा करने के लिए एक सेवक नियुक्त किया हुआ था। वही आके दूध धोता था उसकी सेवा करता था और उसका उसी का दूध उसी का गाय के दूध का वो दही और मट्ठा और वो बनता था। और फिर हमें जब ये दंगे शुरू हुए तो छत से हम देखा करते थे आगे लग रही हैं शादी दरवाजे और दूसरे दरवाजे जितने लोगों ने सारी आगे हम दिखाई देती थी क्योंकि 15 अगस्त को बना और हम जो है 27 अगस्त को वहाँ से आए। तो उन दिनों में जो हालात थे बहुत अधिक खराब हो चुके थे वो मारकाट शुरू हुई थी और सजी सजाई कोठी छोड़ करके सारे। तो हमने तब सोचा शायद हमें वापस फिर लाहौर आके रहेंगे तो सोफों पर चदरे बिछा के किमिया लेना हो जाए और पलंगों पर खेस बिछा के और सब इस तरीके से हम आएगी क्या फिर हमने यहीं पर आना है। फिर जब हम घर ढूंढते रहते थे कि घर ढूंढने कोई अपना मिल जाए स्वतंत्र रह सके ढूंढते ढूंढते एक गली के अंदर एक मोहल्ले के अंदर जहाँ पर और भी शरणार्थी बहुत सारे आए हुए थे वहाँ पर हमें एक कमरा मिल गया। हमें एक कमरा और बाहर छोटा सा एक जंगला था एक ही कमरा था छोटा साइज का और बाहर छोटा सा आंगन था। उसी आंगन में ऊपर टीन की छत डालकर हमने थोड़ा सा किचन का तार लिया तो बंद और उसी कमरे में एक कोने में नल लगा हुआ था वहीं पर स्नान आदि।
Homelessness consists in this that she still does not even think of the real plight of dwelling as the plight.
जैसे एक हिल स्टेशन पर जाते हैं सामान पैक करते हैं तो रात भर वो जो पैकिंग की थी उसमें हमें वो सामान लेने दिया।
It is said that the earth is blue like an orange, blue like an orange. And orange becomes earth, earth becomes sun, sun becomes water, water becomes sky, and blue becomes orange, like the earth.
I had put this work right away after a bird and logic of birds because obviously it's about territory and inhabiting a space and having to leave a space and
living in between places.
Living in between and I think it's certainly part of your history, but
yes.
It's also part of our condition and certainly your condition as a contemporary artist working on the international scene. I don't know if I'm correct.
Absolutely, and the reason for making it in this fashion, of course this theme resonates through other works also, is because I felt that somehow the seed for the need to be somewhere else or think about the various, you know, poetics of space, but also displacement and in between places. In my case, or in many of our cases, comes from maybe a personal history too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in some cases it could be the Holocaust, which of course is for many people. It's different things for different people. In my case, my grandmother during the partition of India came from Pakistan to India without anything as mm-hmm. a refugee. So did so many other people. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a unique victimhood story. But as you see, her voice is very stoic. Mm-hmm. She's anything but a victim. But
yes, that's what I was going to say. Mm.
But in my case, it's a question of choice.
Yes, so, I was saying mm-hmm. that experience mm-hmm. and that history prepares oneself mm-hmm. for a kind of nomadism, but even more
it could also
desire
be
to discover.
It's
other,
a predilection.
It transforms itself, mm-hmm. it seems, into a desire to discover other situations, which could, if you look at the history, seem as a fatality. Mm-hmm. But it can be turned into a potential, a potentiality also.
Totally. But I would even go as far as saying it is also a predilection. It's something you can't do anything about. It's mm-hmm. it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a precondition in a way.
Mm-hmm. It's a condition that mm-hmm. turns into a potential. Mm-hmm. Well, so the crazy woman is a kind of figure that comes around. Mm-hmm. You could almost think of what this woman is doing in Bird is something that only a crazy woman would mm-hmm. think of doing.
It's and in some of the other closet and other works.
Yes, the closet mm-hmm. video that we didn't see, it's not mm-hmm. on this
it's
one. But in which you mm-hmm. spend, I don't know how much time, just changing clothes and rearranging the clothes in your bedroom, and it's almost to the limit of kind of
neurosis.
Neurosis.
It is actually about neurosis.
Yeah. There's a series of pieces which have to do with what you were talking about, the question of relating and being, and that are extremely simple, one takes often. Mm-hmm. So just sleep and hand. Sleep is from 2006.
They are not one takes, but they are very much done in a
un plan. One, how do you say one?
They are not single shot, but they are done in one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And very, very simple actions or scenarios, mm-hmm. whatever. In which, of course, you're involved again. Sleep can make us think very much, of course, of all the action, the street actions where you were lying down also. But instead of just doing like Andy Warhol and filming someone, in this instance, yourself sleeping.
Getting somebody else.
You have a conversation going on. And did you take a pill or something?
No.
Because you're very groggy.
it's because it's shot in nightlight.
Uh-huh.
So it gives
but
that
your speech
strain.
Is slowed down also.
Because it really was...
The
proposal was to catch me in the moment of actually falling asleep.
Voilà. Excuse me?
The proposal was to catch me in the moment of falling asleep.
Uh-huh.
So it really...
This is your asthma, no?
I have a nice contact with the shopkeeper downstairs. I decided as long as possible the shopkeeper is the going.
And what do you feel in the streets when you see the people? What do you feel from the people in the streets? What is your first impression?
I feel a bit depressed.
The people, okay.
I feel depressed because I feel... I think because I have a cough also. I find that... and it's a phenomenon of an underdeveloped or developing country. Or, well, maybe no, maybe that's an artificial classification. But maybe it's something to do with the psyche of people, and Indian people in India are also like that. But maybe more here, I feel, I see, that people take illness so much for granted. People are so comfortable being ill, in a way. But the shops here, the pharmacies, they are so filled with drugs, even natural medicine, as if they are hoping that someone will buy it all. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It is preempted on the thought that illness is very much can be commodified,
yes.
Or medicines can be.
It's because the industry.
That's very worrying. Yeah, that's very worrying. From here you can see the cycle of the image. Now I'm getting a bit sleepy. I don't know what I'm saying. I think.
Okay. Do you want to sleep now?
I don't know.
How do you feel?
How do I feel?
Tired?
Tired, no. I don't feel tired.
Do you feel relaxed?
I feel relaxed. But I'm just doing relaxed. You?
I feel okay.
What is okay?
Relaxed. I'm very, how can I say, very calm. Well, it's just relaxed, but I feel very, very happy for doing this and discovering your last thoughts. Through your words. Peaceful, I feel peaceful.
Sometimes I want this time to stretch everywhere. The number four.
Number four?
If it's a fan.
Mm.
With lots of fan leaves.
Can you tell me about your last night dream?
Something to do with my sister. And something to do with all her women. But not making as much use of it as I am.
You look very comfortable in that pillow.
Look at your eyes to see if he's still there.
That's so realistic.
What?
What you doing?
What? I don't understand. I don't hear you. Can you read it?
Realistic.
It's... What kind of word? In India?
System is too good. I've never heard this before. Just my snores.
Here we go now.
Okay.
Can you tell me the last thing?
The last thing, empty.
It's another one of these in-between states that you're exploring, just as in the world, but this time it's different consciousness that you are sort of putting through an examination by having set up this very strange situation where you have this man dialoguing with you. Whereas you're supposed to be going to sleep, and it's almost like a parent sitting at the bedside of a child who can't sleep, or someone who's tending after a sick person or a dying person even. And my God, why do you put yourself in such positions? It's.
I think you said it already. It's at the beginning. It's setting up these situations in order to experience the in-betweenness. I think that's definitely one of the things. But I think here it was also the. It's a very interesting, you know, the subliminal zone between sleep and wakefulness. In fact, this work was made in 2005 and 6. In 5, I was in Mexico City. I was invited to work with a bunch of filmmakers to make a film, very young video and filmmakers, to make something about Mexico City. And during this time, I set up this proposal that I would not go out at all and I would only see the city through what you bring me for 15 days. And it was a very, very isolating proposal in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order to break that, I had to set up other things for myself. And this was one of the works which came out on the sides of the larger proposal of the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also for me this constant need, as you would see, 5 visits, which we probably can't show. It's a very long work, 15 minutes, and it may not be so nice to cut it. Or maybe we can show the beginning. 5 visits?
I would love to.
Have you seen the film?
Yes, I would love to.
Maybe
look
we
at
can show the few minutes.
But I'd like you to talk before about Head Hand. We won't show it because we don't have enough time anymore. Which is the image on the top right of the screen. But maybe you can just make a short description of the piece, because
I feel
that with sleep you sort of of engaged yourself as with Head Hand in exploring also men-woman relationship, which you continue with 5 visits also.
I think it's also because you also see that happening again in a different manner in Don't Touch Me When I Start to Feel Safe, which is a performance done in different places, including in China at Arario, Beijing in 2006. It's also an installation. I build a space inside mm-hmm. a museum, which was a home-like space, which nobody was aware of. And maybe I'll describe it later. But just to say that this need to also set up encounters, because a lot of the other works, which are songs sung by other people, mm-hmm. again, it's the sense of encountering the other, but also encounters with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of different concerns somehow marry in a work like Sleep, the discovering this is something you pointed out, and I hadn't reflected too much on it, about the in-betweenness being related to the other in-betweenness of place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here is another notion of place in a way, but more a sense of encounters. But in the this was done in 2005 and 6. Now in the last, since 2008, once again, I'm very much preoccupied, not so much with sleep itself, but with insomnia. But insomnia, and for me, that is the next step from Logic of Birds and Lying Down on the Ground. Again, the polemics of being in the world, I am now thinking and proposing insomnia almost in the Levinas sense of a self-instilled state of vigilance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you think of what can be done, so you set up a state of vigilance yourself mm-hmm. by not falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, sleep here being again an allusion to
mm-hmm.
Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's there's also that aspect when mm-hmm. one thinks about sleep.
Some people have written about your work that you're very close to one of Gandhi's main concepts, the one of Satyagraha.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is this idea mm-hmm. of quiet resistance. Mm.
Well, I think she's the the person who's written that is... well, I feel very awkward to be spoken in the same moment as Gandhi. That's a little bit of a sacrilege, maybe.
But Gandhi still had a philosophy
yes.
which you can share.
Yes, well, in a way, I think this need to offer small acts of resistance, which recurs through Flower Carrier and through lying down and through the new work, which is in the realm of insomnia. I think that's where these are more overtly visible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So insomnia would be a kind of allegory.
It's a very allegorical work.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very ambitious work too, because I've changed the title now. It's Insomnambulist Song, because I like always the poetic allusion to song, which
mm-hmm.
features very often in my work. It's also about translation,
mm-hmm.
several things. And it's going to be, yeah, my big...
mm-hmm.
been working on it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Could we look
across
at...
Across countries also.
Could we look at Five Visits?
Yes, okay.
There's
that
two
be nice.
Parts from what I understand.
It's one work, but
visits.
There's a little pause after a few minutes. So maybe we can see the beginning and a little bit of
yes
after the second,
uh-huh.
so that people get a sense of how it worked. But just to describe, because that you can't see on the screen, it was a very large space with two not at right angles but more obtuse angle placed equal very large screens, a very dark space. So once you're there, you're engulfed within the space. And then the sound is very particular, because it's on, the man's sound comes from one end of the room and the woman's sound from the other end. And the images are such that there are just these two revolving heads. So somehow there's a prologue, which is trying to reach somewhere. So even Five Visits is not exactly five visits, but the idea of revisiting a place or a person, but trying to arrive somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sense of continent is somehow established. And then the continents somehow then get consolidated within these two heads in a way,
mm-hmm.
which are completely choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
This was shown at the Kongju Biennale.
You can see in your work that there is also a very cosmic concern. You could see it in the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, in the world, the way you would film nature and...
Mm-hmm.
Also, the way you film the skin, the body, has something of a cosmology or a cosmogony about it. The way you stick very determined way to the the floor, the asphalt, the surface of the earth, you really want to sort of make that fusion, if it is possible. I find you, when you photograph these incredible clouds that you see in Five Visits, which take you know, a lot of time in the image sequences, you are also very sticking to this sense of the cosmos and trying explore that kind of maybe the separation that we're all ways trying to make the gap of that's all about being in the world. Simon Krishley, the English philosopher, calls it the inherent discrepancy. There's always a lack, there's always a missing part, there's always something that makes you want to do something to bridge the gap, but the gap is always there.
One of your videos was entitled something pre-cinematic or
pre-cinematic. That was not a video. That was a documentation of the
document. Actually, I wanted to ask you a question about the difference, or maybe the link that you have, that you make between a video and a performance, because apparently some of the videos are displayed as installations, but sometimes it is a video, you film the performance, so is it just documentation, or is it also a video, or
this is
the present moment when you attend a performance. And
this is a perennial question about performance, and it's very important always to think in my way. I mean, I'm always trying to resolve it, and it reaches a certain amount of resolving, and then there are still more questions. I think I, for a very long time when I started, I was very clear I was doing things for the camera, and it was very clear, because even I, you know, even in the moment when Bird was made, I had no idea about all the history of that kind of work in the Western feminist art. I hadn't seen any of that, so it was not coming with any any idea already about that. So I was just doing it in a way quite intuitively and trying to do my own thing, and so I wanted to do things in front of the camera. I also, well, for Bird, I couldn't take my clothes off in public, I think, at least not now, maybe later, I don't know. And then there came a moment where it was very important to go out and do things in public, and it wasn't even important whether that was filmed or not. But then after a moment, you also want to share it with people. So I was even giving the camera to anyone, meaning, of course, not anyone, but a number of people. So it wasn't so important how it was filmed, except for a very basic, you know, like instruction to the person who was holding the camera. And for this reason, I think it was, for me, it was quite okay that this was the documentation of what was done, and it could be very basic in the camera work itself, and this was fine. Then a very good example is Flower Carrier. You did not see version 1, you saw version 2. Version 1 is 6 years of recording the walk. But by the time I actually call it version 3, because version 2 is something in my head which I haven't made so far, which is the making of the flower, because it's a plastic flower. It is a man-made flower. In version 3, already for six years actively I was walking, and I had carried the notion of this work for 9 years, and by then I already felt the work stemmed from this text of Kundera's, which you read. In the walking, I left the text behind, and a lot of other things were being negotiated by me, between me and the city, and so much was happening. And then at the end, there was a desire to make a video. So what you see here is I actually hired a person, and then I performed it. To make the video, I decided on the music. I chose the music, this very warrior-like music, and very, very, very carefully and painstakingly juxtaposition with the flute, complete change of mood, etc., etc., the slowing of the motion, all of that. So this is very much constructed as a video. For me, there is no question about this. And I'm glad that this work was done in 2006. So by the time, as I said, some resolve had happened in my head. I don't say that it's totally resolved. But sometimes you can tell very easily whether you can actually show it in a certain situation or not. So for instance, the documentation of Don't Touch Me when I start to feel safe, which we haven't seen today, for me still remains documentation which I share with friends, people, but I doubt there will be a situation where it could be easily seen, maybe in a museum. It would need some kind of annotation. Whereas Flower Carrier, which you saw, I think it can easily lend itself to being seen as a projection somewhere, and it's a complete work in itself. So I think what I'm trying to say is, it's not a choice that it could either be this or that. It can always move between the two. It could be even more than two. For example, the lying down, the one with the pigeons, it is a beautiful set of photographs. Even if I say it myself, I mean the single moment caught is very powerful also. And at the same time, it's also a video. And at the same time, it was a billboard in Valencia. And at another time, it was a set of light boxes in an installation. So it can take different forms.
If it answers. The last one, it was an installation.
It was very large screens in a very large space. Sort of very dark, almost abstract notion of space, and the sound comes from different parts. Very sort of far ends, extremes, two different extremes of the room.
Where was it?
It was in Kunstmuseum Bern once, and another time in the Gwangju Biennale, and then finally, more recently, in Delhi, at the Goethe Institute.
Mm-hmm.
They have a large space, much longer than this. The entire space was just this work, and it was a very tough negotiation because they never had only one work. They like to break up the gallery and all that. So, and it's a very classic building from the Regency period in Delhi with a beautiful lawn. And in the lawn, I put a very large shipping container, and I showed the world inside this container. So you have five visits, which is a different kind of encounter in a way, or among many things, inside and outside in a shipping container. You had this work, and the shipping container of course was juxtaposed with this beautiful building in the lawn. Yeah.
The monologue of the German man,
mm-hmm.
It was difficult to see the subtext. He talks about what?
Actually, it's pretty much the same as what he already had said,
mm-hmm.
just a little elaboration.
Mm-hmm.
As you've seen, the dialogue is very almost casual and very simple, and the way, and because all of it also emerged out of our real conversation. I did meet this man in 2001. It was a magic moment where I was falling apart with asthma, and this taxi driver whom I stopped turned out to be my uncle's adopted son, the uncle who had died, and so it was one of those more serendipity moments. And then it became a very beautiful, very nurturing thing. And I think I always look for this in the world also. That's why I talk about encounters a lot. So for many years, I was telling people about this, and I liked to tell about this. It was a very precious story, almost like a gift to share. And every time I told it to someone, people felt amazed. And it's something to note when amazement is still felt by people. No?
Mm-hmm.
So after some years, I thought it is beyond my story, so maybe I can make a work with it. But so far, I still have a resistance to using actors. I think my work somehow doesn't have that. Maybe in Insomnia, I'm actually considering using actors, because I'm talking about my mother, and it would be too close to film her, because I'm also talking about her mental state, and that's a bit tricky. So in this case, then I kept on writing and strengthening, and somehow waiting to get the money, and then at a certain moment I got a grant, and I went back to Berlin, and I met Tom. We had kept in touch off and on, and he wasn't at all interested. He says, I like you very much, you're my friend, you're an artist, I like your work, but this is not my life, so, you know, do what you want. You can portray me as you like, but I'm not part of this. And I said, okay, that's totally fine, I have a plan B, but I'm in Halle, and anytime you want, please call me. We will just have a tea or a coffee. And I was waiting by the phone, at the same time trying to make other versions of how will I tell this story. And then one day he called me, so I quickly went from Halle to Berlin. And then in the very first moment, I had the camera, but I wasn't even taking it out of my bag. After 15 minutes, he said, "So did you bring a camera with you?" And so then very slowly, in the second or the third meeting, he was totally involved and he was telling me how to shoot and, you know, everything. So he got quite involved. But what was your question?
Well, I have a big question that many people must ask you about your work. Do you feel it has anything to do with post-colonial critique or feminist questions? Or
very much so. And I will let you discover those. No, and I'm not trying to be brash and challenging in a brash way.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say that there are lots of things which are embedded in the work. And in a way, I think they become reduced if they are translated in simple or simplistic ways.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my problem with what goes in the name of political work today is I'm very uncomfortable very often with people's understanding, artists' understanding, or the art world's understanding of what constitutes the political. For me, Head Hand is an extremely political work. Bird is a very political work.
Mm-hmm.
I think to show a work like Five Visits in a situation where everybody is talking about progress in India is a political act, to say we don't have to be ambassadorial and talk about that. We can also talk about the beauty of a precious moment, and that's important. So in these ways I would answer your question. But
I
don't
say,
formulate my things as
that's why I would
out of
say
the theory.
That for me your work goes beyond these questions. They deal with them, but they also find a way to go beyond them. And
because I think as artists it's also important to not forget the poetics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think very often we are well equipped to deal with that. Not that we are not well equipped to deal with the political,
mm-hmm.
but I think this is the passage very often.
Because we don't feel that you are, in French we would say, englué dans ces questions. You're not sort of stuck in this agenda of post-colonialism studies or feminist
no.
studies. You found a way, a very personal way, I find, to make a step ahead.
But I don't disinclude it also. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if there was a conversation or a symposium, and I might actually take the side of it
mm-hmm.
as a personal, you know,
mm-hmm.
what I lean on.
Mm-hmm.
I would defend it,
yeah.
I think. But I think in my work also, because I'm also, you know, coming from the situation where the generation before me from India, you know, we also want to be players in the entire world, not in a small place, which again causes a lot of trauma, how to negotiate this. And earlier there used to be this sense of the world wanted something exotic, as is often the case. And then in my time, it was already the idea of the new exotic. And I think selling the idea of an earthquake or a poverty or globalization from India or the fact that we are very media savvy, all this is also in a way very, in for me, very almost exotic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like trying to say these are the wares that I can bring
mm-hmm.
from where I am, and I totally resist that.
Mm-hmm.
I abhor it actually. So for me, that becomes a political act not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And to find other ways to keep on insisting on the personal, and to use a cliche which I totally believe in, the personal is political, and
mm-hmm.
also beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have some more comments or questions?
Alexandra?
Well, I was just thinking that maybe we can have a conversation around the table with wine.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes,
wine would be
so
nice.
So that would be less formalist, maybe.
So thank you for your
okay.
attention.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chantal. Very moved by how much you read in the work.
Thank you. Thank you for your work.
You saw a lot.